is titled "The Gun Rights The Gun Rights Battle from a Media Perspective." We will start with Beth Bauman, who is an associate editor at Town Hall. Thank you.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you. As I said, I'm Beth Bauman, an associate editor at townhall.com. It's great to be back in Arizona. I actually went to school up in Flagstaff up the road, so Arizona has a special place in my heart. It's awesome to see so many freedom-loving Americans in one place, especially considering what we're going through right now and the battle we're facing. You know, every election cycle we hear, this is the biggest, most important election of our lifetime. We have to vote. We have to get people out there to knock on doors, to make phone calls, and to vote. And I think it's safe to say that this is the most important election of our lifetime. We have Beto O'Rourke. We have him coming out saying, you know, let's ban assault weapons. Let's buy back rifles. He wants to get rid of our guns. And for the longest time, the left has told us that we're wearing tinfoil hats, that we're crazy. And what do they always say? We're not coming for your guns. You guys are just crazy. It's not the case. They have made it very clear that this election cycle is about three things: Medicare for all, gun rights, and abortion. And not necessarily in that order. As I read stories and pick and choose, because there's so many things going on, pick and choose what I write about and what I cover, I frequently find myself frustrated at how mainstream media, or as I call them, the lamestream media, decides to cover these issues that are important to us. Well, they see a black gun, a big, black, scary, super shooty rifle, super shooty, you know, the bigger, the blacker, the scarier it is. And I always say, you know, maybe we should Cerakote them purple and see what they think. Bet you they wouldn't even know the difference between them. They don't understand that this is more than carrying a piece of metal for self-protection. This is about defending the Constitution. And look around. We're pretty diverse. We're more diverse than they give us credit for. What do they always say gun owners are? Old, white. And it's not the case. The fastest growing population of new gun owners are like me. Millennial women. And they seem, you know, like Beto. He went to a gun show in Arkansas, and suddenly he's an expert on all things firearms, right? The one lesson he missed, though, Milan Labe. And it's the most basic one of them all. And it's not about coming and taking our firearms. It's about taking our right to choice. Everything is about choice. And in this election cycle, we're having to choose between those who are going to shred our Constitution. And I'm not talking just about the Second Amendment. I'm talking about the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, all the amendments that come with red flag laws and the lack of due process. You have people like Jerry Nadler. I got my start because I'm a fan of, you know, civil rights and protecting them. The dude doesn't even want people to have a hearing before our rights are taken away. Talk about ironic, right? As we go about our day, I want you to think about something. What are you personally doing to make sure that we don't give this election over to not just the left, but to the anti-gunners? Because quite frankly, we have some Republicans who are chickens. They face this pressure of doing something. Let's push some paper here. Let's say we're going to suddenly fix the mass shooting crisis carried out by psychos who want to do nothing but harm others. But what they're doing is they're telling people like me who have been the survivors of sexual assault that our rape whistle failed us once and it's okay if it fails us again. And I'm not okay with that. And it's interesting to watch them try to argue that, especially when I have these anti-gun guys say, you should be really afraid of a gun because it's more likely to be used against you than you defending yourself. And I say, you know what? I will take that chance every time because I know what it's like to not have it. So as we go about our day and we hear from different speakers, ask yourself what you're doing to ensure that this election cycle protects the Second Amendment, not just for us, but for future generations. Because I can tell you, there are plenty of millennials like me who are interested. And don't let them be afraid to ask questions. Love you, Gunnies, but we're really great at pushing people away when they have questions. Clip. That's a magazine. Come on, we have to take in new shooters. I'm a huge fan of the National Shooting Sports Foundation's Plus One campaign to bring new shooters in, whether it be for target practice, shooting sports, hunting. There are all these really great initiatives from all these different great groups, and it's up to each and every one of us to find new people to bring into this. Because, like previous speakers said, come on, guys, we're getting kind of old here. You know, we need some fresh blood. And I got to give a shout out to Maj. He's somewhere in here. Maj does great work. He does phenomenal work in our inner cities to get different people in and to bring a different voice. So as we go about our day, ask yourself what you're doing. Remember, it's not just about showing up and voting. It's about getting others to do the same thing, because for far too long, too many of us have said, there's a Republican, Trump won't sign it. There are Republicans in the Senate, they'll never take it up. But we can't rely on that. And I've said that for time and time again, and especially with these red flag laws coming up and universal background checks, they're proving that it doesn't matter what letter is behind your name. It's about what you do. Thank you.
Steven.
A little bit taller. Hi, everyone. My name is Steven Gutowski, and I'm a reporter with the Washington Free Beacon. And I'm here today to challenge you a little bit on some of the things that you might believe about the media. And some of the things you might believe about how effective you can be in changing the way that guns are covered in the United States. You know, if I was in front of a room of reporters, I would have a different message challenging them to get better at their jobs on covering guns. But instead, I'm here today in front of some very knowledgeable, very active gun rights advocates, and I have a different message for you, and that message is you can make a difference in how the media cover firearms in this country. You can make a difference in how accurate stories are on this subject. You can make a difference in how well reporters understand the issue. It's something that I personally do almost nonstop. In my job, even though my role is mainly to report on firearms policy and politics, a lot of my time is spent trying to assist other reporters in getting their stories right, because I believe that that is the most important thing in journalism. That's why I got into journalism, to accurately tell people's stories, to inform my audience, not to spread ignorance or misconceptions. And so much of my time is taken up helping reporters from other outlets try and get the facts right. which I think is something that everyone in this room can also do. All you need is the desire and a little bit of knowledge on how to best interact with reporters that you might come into contact with. And so that's what I want to help you with today, is just give you a few tips on how best to do that. Because it is something that I understand is very frustrating. Trust me, I constantly feel like I'm the ombudsman for the entire media, and it's not fun. It's very frustrating, especially when you're talking about an issue like how our background check system works in this country and some of the misconceptions there. And we've talked about this over and over again, and you expect that reporters at top outlets should have a better understanding of how these things work, and oftentimes they don't, even if they're good reporters. There are plenty of reporters out there who, aren't reachable. There are people, some of the most famous people in media, some of the TV hosts and such, and you all know who they are not people that you're going to be able to influence. They're not people interested in getting the facts right or in informing their audience. They're more interested in pushing, whatever their political agenda is. And this obviously happens on both sides of the aisle, but you guys experience this with guns as very often, right? But I would contend that most reporters, especially the reporters focused on hard news, not writing opinion pieces, these are the people that you can actually inform, that want to learn, they want to get the facts right, they want their stories to be accurate. It's not a totally hopeless cause. It just isn't. And I have personally helped reporters on stories at every major outlet in the media, and they will come back to me and ask me for advice on stories because of the way that I try to handle this, and it's a way that I think a lot of you are perfectly capable of doing. Most people in this room are very informed on this issue. Most of you are essentially experts, the crowd that comes to this convention. And so I think that you're just as capable as I am of helping reporters get the facts right. And I think the best way to do this is, one, to focus on hard news stories, where you see somebody writing something that's incorrect in your local paper or on your local television or even in a national paper like the Washington Post or the New York Times or wherever, and you see a story and it gets a fact wrong about the gun issue, about a piece of legislation, about the politics of it, whatever it is, if it's a fact and you know that that is wrong and you can prove that's wrong, then the best thing you can do is contact that reporter and tell them that it's wrong. Show them how it's wrong. But, reporters are human too, so be polite, be courteous, and you'll get further. Reach out through their email, which is almost always listed on their stories, and reach out especially through Twitter, where there many reporters are absolutely available and will listen to you if you approach them in the right way. And be a resource. Offer to take them to the range. Offer to explain how guns work. Most of them, a lot of reporters are just, they didn't grow up around guns. They don't know these things. And this is where you can come in and help. And you can be that person to be a resource. And that's what I would encourage you to do. And I think if you do that, I believe you'll have success, especially if you focus on your local outlets first, as opposed to the national ones. That's where you can really have a bigger impact if you try it. So that's my message to you. Be a resource, be a fact checker, be polite, and you'll see results. So thank you.
AWR.
Hey, good to be with y'all. AWR Hawkins, I write for the Courier Journal. Joking. Shout out to Louisville, though. Shout out to Louisville. I'm kidding. I did that because Stephen walked up to me a while ago and goes, "Who you writing for lately?" I mean, you know, I'm wearing it, Breitbart, and proud to be there. Anyway, I want to start a little unorthodox. Have y'all seen that movie, Bedtime Stories? And the guy Nottingham is in it, and they do the chant, and he goes, "I say nodding, you say ham." You know what I'm talking about? Like, I would go, "Nodding. I say nodding, you say nodding, nodding." Now, here's what we're going to do. Keep that cadence in your mind. I'm going to say "come in." You're going to say "take it." Come and take it. Come and take it. You ready? At the Gun Rights Policy Conference, bunch of freedom lovers. I say "come in." You say "come in." Come in. I say "come in." You say "come in." Come in. All right. Way to go. That's how we start a talk. Now look, keeping with what I'm supposed to do, let's look at media perspective on some things. I'm just going to throw out five phrases they use quite often. The gun lobby, assault weapons ban, the Charleston loophole, the private gun sale loophole, the gun show loophole. Thinking about all this, you get it. They use these phrases because our establishment media, and you got to use that word establishment media because Stephen is in the media, but he's not writing this garbage. I'm in the media. I'm not writing this garbage. So there are some media outlets that are outside of what you would call establishment media, and that's important to keep in mind. But the establishment media uses these phrases, and the whole goal is slowly, slowly put a little shame on you and slowly, slowly criticize things. Remember, it was the establishment media that gave us that terrifying phrase, full semi-automatic. Remember that? That scared me to death. I brought my AR in, I laid it on the bed, and we talked about it. I go, "Are you really full semi-automatic? This is scary." All right? These people don't know what they're talking about, but they don't care. Their goal is to scare you and to scare me, to shame Donald Trump, to shame Mitch McConnell, to shame Ted Cruz. We could keep going. It's not going to work with Cruz, but we know that. All right? We can keep going. Now, I want you to give some thought to this, to the terminology. Let's just think about the establishment media's use of the word gun lobby or the phrase gun lobby. Now, what this means is, of course, the Second Amendment Foundation, the NRA, Gun Owners of America. I shouldn't list any gun groups because you can't list them all, but it means any gun group that you know of is part of the gun lobby. And instead of fighting for, see, that's positive, instead of fighting for the Second Amendment, they present these groups as fighting against what? Kid safety, suicide reduction, school safety. All the while, these very same talking heads in the established media are doing everything they can to make sure schools are a gun-free zone where teachers cannot conduct classroom defense. See, all the while, they're the culprits, but they're using these phrases to throw you off and put you on the defense, all right? I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. The media paints a picture of defending the Second Amendment, not of defending, excuse me, but of undercutting gun safety, all right? And they tar and feather Second Amendment groups as standing in the way, as I said. I want you to think about it, as standing in the way of keeping kids safe and of reducing suicide and all this. But if you'll think about it, none of their claims, none of their statements are congruent. That's very important. None of it goes together. And the attempt to smear pro-gun groups is particularly loathsome because what? I know I saw some people. I saw Lott outside. I don't know if he's in here, but you look at someone like Lott. He knows these numbers back and forth. You look at when our homicides went back up, I believe 2017 was the year. What drove those homicides up? Chicago, New Orleans, right? St. Louis. All these Democrat-controlled cities that are gun-controlled cities. So in other words, all the solutions that the establishment media are pushing, those are causal, or they at least correlate, with an increase in murder. right? But they're trying to shame me with these little catchphrases. It doesn't really work, all right? And another aspect of their gun lobby claim that doesn't work is that they try to act like the gun lobby's dumping so much money into these campaigns, and the gun lobby's running roughshod over everybody. And anybody who really looks at the numbers know, if we just pick on the NRA, they were outspent in the last few elections by the gun control lobby, which is constituted by Michael Bloomberg's groups, by Gabby Gifford's groups. These groups have millions of dollars, not to mention the Tom Steyers and others on the outside who are billionaires and who are given everything they can to be sure that they restrict the Second Amendment, right? So when you hear these word plays from the media, and not just the gun lobby, when you hear assault weapons and this and that, you got to go back to the source, understand what these things mean. They don't mean what they say they mean. These are tools they use to control you and control me, all right? So one of the first things we do when we deal with the establishment media is we have to reject what they're saying because it's not true, all right? And there is no such thing as a full semi-auto, but that's just on the side. Thank you.
I would like you all to say happy birthday to AWR's better half, who let him come here today. So happy birthday to Heidi. And I just want to tell you, at SAF, we've started calling the established media, we're calling them the legacy media. They've been around a really long time, but that isn't necessarily a good thing. They're the legacy media. We're stuck with them. Okay, Mark, thank you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Mark Walters. I'm the host of Armed American Radio and Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. And thank you very much, which I now own as of yesterday, by the way. Thank you very much. First of all, as a board member of the CCR-KBA, I want to welcome everybody here. It's a huge event, and I've got something really special I'd like to do first. There's an individual, a very close friend of mine and a close friend of all of ours, who is in the audience today. Paul Markle, where are you? Where's Paul Markle? Paul, stand up. Thank you for being here. Paul's not on the speaking list today, but it wasn't too long ago that Paul didn't know if he would ever be speaking again, and I got a text message just days ago that his cancer scan is 100% cancer-free. Fighting solves everything, and he's proof positive. I don't normally come here with prepared comments because I learned a long time ago that I can't stick to them, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples. In Chicago a number of years ago, I was in the cab, and I had my prepared remarks, and I was looking at them, and all of a sudden I got this girl says, "Can I share a cab with you?" I said, "Sure." She sits down next to me. She says, "Are you going to the such and such conference?" I said, "No, I'm speaking at the Gun Rights Policy Conference." "I love guns. I grew up with guns. I'm from Virginia. My brothers and sisters, and we all were plinking all our lives. Everything except those assault rifles." At which point I looked at the cab driver and I said, "How much time do we have so I can fix her before we get to the hotel?" In about 8 minutes, I fixed her because she was cracked. She wasn't broken. But I want you to think, here's a girl that grew up around guns her whole life. Where did she come up with that narrative? Right? Certainly not from home, so keep that in the back of your mind as we go through this. Last year, Chicago, how many people were there? Remember the doctor's convention? Yeah. Alan Gottlieb and I were walking Winston. We were coming back into the hotel. We get to the bottom of the escalator. We meet a gentleman. We said, "You go ahead and go first." And he says, "No, no, go ahead." He goes, "Hey, are you guys here? Are you guys here for the doctor's thing?" And I said, "Well, thank you. I'm not an eye doctor, but I appreciate the fact that you think I look as educated as you think I do." I said, "We're here for the Gun Rights Policy Conference." And he said, "Oh, yeah, we were warned about you." Yeah, we were warned about you. And I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" He says, "Well, we got a letter from those who put on the conference apologizing to all of us attendees because they didn't know that we were going to be there." Whoa. The most law-abiding Americans in the country and some of the most educated are petrified of us. So here's my theme. Where do you think they draw that narrative from? They get it from the mainstream media, the legacy media, as Julianne just reminded me. So I came here hoping for that sign from God that I'm going to get another sign that somebody is going to give me something because I didn't have anything prepared. At 6:30 this morning, it still hadn't hit me, and about 6:34, it came to me. It was given to you 3 weeks ago when you were in Tombstone with Mr. Kurt Schilling, when Kurt and I were doing a celebrity event at the Freedom Days, and the mainstream Channel 5 News in Tucson showed up, wanted to interview Kurt at an event we were doing at the Oriental Saloon. They insisted when he walked outside that he take off his pro-Trump hat and not mention the Second Amendment. Now, Kurt Schilling's a very outspoken individual and a good friend of mine, and I was really worried about him, so I went and tried to save him before he got himself in trouble. That wasn't necessary. He handled it very well, so they turned to me and said, would you do the interview? I said, I host Armed American Radio. Can I even tell you that, or are you afraid of the name of my radio program? So Gordon Anderson, who's in the room, kindly did it and didn't handle the interview very well. So I mention these things to you for a reason. Because here we were censored by the media at a pro-gun Second Amendment rally event in Tombstone, Arizona, and that media was from Tucson. How does that work? Okay. Now, they apologized, and they hung out with us and had drinks with us for the rest of the night. They were a lot of fun. But it wasn't their fault. So here's what we're up against, and that's what I want to let you know. This is what we're up against. From that girl who grew up around guns, swayed by a biased media, to some of the most educated people on earth, so afraid of us because of what they see and what they hear. So imagine a world where the truth was told. Imagine if they heard that. Imagine if Lester Holt started the NBC Evening News with, a 64-year-old man today used an AR-15 to kill two of four intruders who tried to kill him and rape his wife. And they did the same thing on ABC, NBC, and CBS. Guess what would happen? People's perspectives would change about what we talk about. And then that mass shooting that they like to talk about would be the anomaly that it really truly is because the perspective would change. But they're not going to do that. Those are called lies of omission. So here's what we do. We're going to keep talking about it. We're going to keep writing about it. You're going to keep consuming it. And we need you to share it. And when we do that and work in unison together, guess what happens? We fill that void and the truth is told. And guess what happens when the truth is told? We win. Because freedom will always prevail. I believe that. I'll see you on the radio. Thank you.